Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you'll look there with me. I'm going back to this morning. Some of you, many of you were not here Wednesday night. And so I'm going to go back and I'm going to talk about some of the same things that I did Wednesday night and some additional things. And we're going to be in Joshua chapter 1, but we're starting off here in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 20, if you look there with me. Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, and verse number 20. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in. Isn't that a great verse? He brought us out that he might bring us in. That's what we want to talk about this morning. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, most of all, we thank you for the anointing of your Spirit, Lord, that can enlighten our eyes and touch our hearts and help us to see, to understand the spiritual truths from your word that we need to see. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. He has brought us out that he might bring us in. Praise God. You know, the scripture, even the Old Testament scriptures, are so valuable because they give to us so many life lessons, so many examples of how that God wants to work in our lives. He worked in the lives of the patriarchs, the prophets, the various ones of the Old Testament, and from their lives, the scripture says that these things were all written aforetime. This is Romans 15 and 4. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. And so we learn so many important spiritual lessons from the Old Testament example. The children of Israel in their bondage that's referred to here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, how that God brought us out. You'll tell your children when they ask you about all of these laws and these statutes. It's not just something that's dry and it's not just a written letter, but this is what God has really done. We have witnessed his mighty hand working in our behalf. It's one thing to talk about what God can do, and it's a whole other thing to say, yes, that's what God can do, and this is what God has done in my life. This is the testimony of my life and the faithfulness of the Lord in my life. And we need the scripture as a guide to help us to see that we have hope because God delights in working in the lives of his people. Praise God. Now, Moses was the lawgiver, a mighty man, a mighty leader who brought the children of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt. God used him to deliver them. Moses led them out. He led them through the Red Sea, across the wilderness, and to the border of the Promised Land, Kadesh Barnea, right there, looking over into the Promised Land. But he couldn't take them all the way in. You see, the law can only take you so far. The lawgiver could only take them so far. The law, it's by the law that we have the knowledge of sin. And it is obvious, the scripture says in Galatians 3 and 24, that the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And so Moses was only able to take them so far. Then they needed a Jesus, and that was Joshua. His very name in the Hebrew, Yeshua, is just the name Jesus. He's a wonderful Old Testament type of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, Joshua, who was the one that was going to lead them into the promised land. So the spiritual lessons that we learn from this example are so many. so many. Remember the part of the story when they come up to the border at Kadesh Barnea? They send in the 12 spies. Those 12 return back. 10 of them, the Bible says, with an evil report. Only 2 had a faith report, a report of confidence in the promise of God. And so Caleb and Joshua coming back with a good report, full of faith, wasn't enough to overcome the fear that struck the hearts of the rest of the children of Israel because of the evil report. When they heard that report, when they heard about the giants, when they heard about the walled cities and all that was going on in the promised land, it didn't matter that God had promised it to them. It didn't matter that Caleb and Joshua were saying, we're well able. We can do this. We can go up. It's promised to us. We can take possession of this wonderful promise. And so what should have been just 11 days' journey from Egypt to the promised land turned into 40 years of wandering in circles in the wilderness. What a terrible, tragic thing that took place because of the unbelief of the children of Israel. 1 million is estimated, probably 1.2 million. Nobody really knows for sure. Could have been millions of those Egyptians who wandered, or those Israelites rather, that wandered in the wilderness. And all of that first generation died in the wilderness. Can you imagine the horrible circumstance that they were in? Now, God was with them. He protected them and gave them power over their enemies, even in the wilderness. God took care of them and provided food for them supernaturally. God took care of them. Even their clothes didn't wear out, or their shoes didn't wear out. God was with them. But all they did was go in circles. They never realized the promise of God. And what a lesson. What a lesson for Christians today to learn, that we really desperately need to learn, is that God has so many wonderful promises for the people of God. He has so many wonderful things that he has for us and he wants us to move into and partake of. Yeah, he delivered us from Egypt. He saved us from sin. He brought us out of sin, but he didn't stop there. He wants us to lead us into a wonderful, wonderful life, a life in the Spirit, a life in blessing, a life in fruitfulness, a life with the provision of God, a life of victory through Jesus Christ and by the power of the Spirit of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. It was never his will for them to wander around in the wilderness all of those years, but unbelief produces a meaningless life. Unbelief will produce a life without purpose, without meaning, but faith will lead you where you could have never gone before. Faith will take you into the unknown promises of God and help you to experience all the wonderful things that God has provided for his people. I want what God has promised for me. I want what God has promised for all of us here in this service this morning. I want what he has promised for every family, for everyone in this service today to experience the promise of God. I don't want your Christian life to just be mundane, to just be meaningless, to have no sense of hope or no sense of direction. No, you have been called out because God has a divine purpose for you. You have been called out from sin, not just so that you could just say, I've been saved, but so that you can enter into the life that has been provided for you through Jesus Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. Instead, 1 million Israelites died in the wilderness, at least in that 40 years. That's 85 funerals per day. That whole next generation, I mean, it was characterized by meaninglessness and death. That's all was going on. Sure, they did witness the help of God from time to time, but they just were in survival mode. That's all it was. They just lived out their days. Like some people will say, well, I'll be glad when this day is over so I can move on to the next day. Instead of realizing that every day is a day of divine purpose, a day of design by God, and that it's the will of God that we enter into all the wonderful blessings that God has for the people of God by faith. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now the next generation, the younger generation, they had only heard about it. They had never seen the promise, but they longed for it. They desired to be there. They wanted to see the fulfillment of those promises. They longed for that. I'm just convinced that there are a lot of people of this particular generation right now, even some of the young people that are coming along right now and young adults that are coming along right now, that you've got this thing in your heart and in your mind. You have this desire, this longing. You want something greater. You want something more. You don't want to just live out the days of your life. You want to live according to the plan of God. You want to realize all the things that God has for his people. And you're not going to be contented until you see those things become a reality. Now, the promised land is a type, not a type of heaven, as we often hear about in some of our songs. Even the song Beulah Land, that is sung many times, and I know it's a pretty song and I'm busting your bubble, sung at a lot of funerals, but Beulah Land is a term used in the scripture only once or twice that refers to the land of promise. And it's only there once or twice, I think, at all of scripture. And it is a place, but the promised land, the Beulah Land, is not a type of heaven, as we sing about. Canaan land is really a type of the Christian life, the victorious life, the life of the Spirit, the life that has been promised to the people of God, as we're talking about here today. I want you to know that God so loves his people that after 40 years, he was willing to give the next generation another chance at the promised land. Amen. He doesn't give up. God wants his people to realize the blessing of the Lord. It just shows you how much that God is committed to his word and committed to his promises, that not one word will fail. He's promised it, and whenever he speaks it, it becomes a reality, even though you may not experience it because of your unbelief. It's still just as real as if it was experienced because God has spoken it. Amen. It is the will of God that every Christian enjoy this kind of victorious life. As you're led into the deeper things of God, as you're led into the life of the Spirit, where we have fruitfulness and anointing and plenty and freedom and dominion and power and provision and healing, all of these wonderful things that are made available to us through the life of the Spirit. Once you have been filled with the Spirit and begin to enter into the great things that God has for his people, praise the Lord, that's the promised land. Glory to God. Amen. That is the promised land that we are looking for, and God will provide that for every person who moves forward in faith and believes God. It's the will of God. Isaiah 1:19, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you be willing and obedient, if you just step out and believe God and take his promise and make it your possession, then you can begin to realize the promise of God. So why would we live in less? Why would we live in spiritual poverty, spiritual need? Why would we not take possession of the promises of God that are ours? I mentioned this Wednesday night that those spies that went into the promised land, that they came back and they took two men to carry one cluster of grapes on their back. It was so large. That was a demonstration of what it was like. More than 20 places in the scripture, it refers to that land as a land flowing with milk and honey. It just means it was just overflowing with abundance, with provision. And it describes what can happen in the house of God, what can happen in the life of the believer who begins to take hold of the promises of God, that we can enter into all the wonderful things that God has for his people, that God has for his church. Glory to God. Because you and I have made sons and we have been made joint heirs with Jesus Christ. All of us can enter in to the wonderful provision, the wonderful inheritance that is ours because of the promise of God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. That's a wonderful, wonderful promise. Now let's look at Joshua chapter 1. And I'm going to just refer to something that I referred to Wednesday night. But let's look at this for just a moment. Because I believe it's really, really important. He says that every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Every place that you put your foot, I will give it to you. And so it had to do with their willingness to believe God and begin to take possession of the promises of God. Amen. Why do we live like we live without, when God's word has provided all of these wonderful things for us? All this wonderful provision that is ours through the promise of God. Why not take possession of it? It's an interesting thing that in the scripture here in verse 4, that it outlines the borders of the promised land. When you read it there, it's in verse 4, it says, the wilderness and this Lebanon under the great river. Lebanon to the north, which went far beyond the borders that the children of Israel ever possessed into Lebanon. And then in another direction, all the way to the river Euphrates. That's all the way over in the area of Iraq. And they never possessed it. But it was promised to them. And the land of the Hittites and under the Great Sea toward the Mediterranean. And when you outline this verse and the promised borders to the children of Israel, it's something like 300,000 square feet that was promised to them. And when David was king, it was the time that they reached their greatest level of conquest. And it was only 30,000 square feet that they possessed. The largest that it ever was. And today, they're bickering and arguing over whether or not Israel even can have that little sliver of land that they've got right now, which is much less than what David had. Like, it's not theirs. But there is 300,000 square feet that wasn't theirs, and the reason why that they never possessed it is because they didn't take it. They didn't go there. They didn't go that far. Their feet didn't go and possess that area. If they would have, it would have been theirs, but it never became theirs. And what a picture that is of you and me and so many of the wonderful promises that God has given to us. We don't have them because we don't take hold of them. We don't experience the outpouring of the Spirit of God because we don't possess it. We don't experience the manifestations of the power of the Spirit of God. We don't possess it. We don't experience the healing and the miracles that are promised in God's Word. We don't possess them. They're all promised to us, but we don't go in and possess the things that God has made available to us. Three places in this text, he tells Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people, verse 6, thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give to them. It was theirs, but the most they ever possessed was one-tenth of what was promised to them, kind of like it is in the church today. One-tenth or less of all the great, wonderful blessings that are ours through Jesus Christ, the power of the Spirit, the life in the Spirit, the victory that should be ours, and we're living way below the wonderful promises of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I say it's high time that we take possession of the things that God has said is ours. We are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and the promises of God belong to us. I say, let's take hold of them. Let's possess them. Let's believe God for the wonderful things that He has for the people of God. He told him to be strong and of good courage. I'm going to divide this inheritance unto you. And then in verse 7 again, he says, only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. He said, be strong and courageous to take heed to the word of the Lord. Be strong and courageous to listen and obey the word of God. Take it as your possession. Four things here. First of all, he said, don't turn to the left or to the right. Get your focus on God's word. Get your focus on the promise of God. And don't let anything detract you or turn you away to the left or the right. Don't veer off from the wonderful promises of the word of God. Be courageous. Amen. Take courage. Be strong and very courageous to observe according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. There is always a link to God's word and the prosperity of the people of God. Amen. Now, the word there doesn't necessarily mean an abundance of riches, but it does mean all that of the provision that you will ever desire or need is available to you if you'll stay true to God's word. Don't veer to the left or to the right. God wants to bless you, and he wants to prosper you. Glory to God. Amen. That's in the word of God. Let's take hold of that. Let's believe God. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Not only are we to not turn to the left or the right, but we are to make sure that the word of God is a part of our conversation, that this is what we talk about. This is something that's important to us enough that it's a part of our conversation. You know, we talk about the things that we love. We talk about the things that are important to us. That's the thing that seems to control our talking and our, you know, all the verbalizing we do. It has to do with the things that we've allowed to consume our thoughts and our mind. Amen. What about spending our time with God, with his word? Don't turn to the left or to the right, and make sure that your conversation is always saturated with the truths of God's word. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Your conversation. You say, why? Well, because there's a wonderful promise here about God's prosperity and success and blessing in your life. And this is what he's telling Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. The third thing related to the word of God is meditation. You know, you meditate on the word of the Lord. And really, this is an important lesson for us in focusing our mind upon the Lord, focusing our attention upon the Lord. You and you alone can control what you are thinking about, what captivates your mind, your attention. Only you can really do anything about that. And so it takes a real conscious effort to meditate and to spend time with God and with the word of the Lord and to think about the things of God, to meditate upon the things of the Lord. And really, to meditate just means to focus on his word, just an intensity of focus upon the truths of God's word, and to let it begin to fill your heart and fill your mind and affect your spirit so that you are talking about God's word, you are meditating upon God's word. And then he said that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then you will obey God's word. Amen. And so be strong and courageous. Don't turn to the left or to the right. Make the word of God your conversation. Make the word of God your meditation. And make sure that you listen and obey the word of the Lord. You know, there is a real problem, I believe, today among a lot of church-going people. And it's a problem of ignoring God's truth. It's not so much that we don't know what it says. We just ignore it as if God is just going to wink at it. And God's going to say, no big deal. No big deal. You just kind of live it out the best way that you can. And so we live careless lives. And our focus is on everything else except for the thing that really matters, that is the word of the Lord. A threefold call here to be strong and courageous. First, be strong and courageous when you possess the land. The second thing, be strong and courageous as it relates to the word of the Lord, how you should respond to the word of the Lord. And then in verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Praise God. Amen. From the time that they left the bondages of Egypt, and Moses led them out, they got over there to the border, their unbelief caused them to turn their back on the promised land and go, and that whole generation died in the wilderness. But then a new generation comes that is following after Joshua, who is a type of Jesus Christ, who is the only one that can lead you into the victorious life. The only one that can lead you. He is the one that can baptize you. He is the baptizer. He is the one that can fill you and can empower you and can direct your steps so that you can go in and possess the promised land. It's Jesus himself, amen, that can work in your life. And he's promised here, if you'll be strong and courageous, remember that wherever you go, I'm going to go with you. Praise God. I'm always going to be there. I am going to go with you. Glory to God. That's the promise of God. That's the promise to the church today, is that Jesus is with us. And if you'll just take a step of faith and believe his word, and begin to take possession of his word. As you read it, as you talk of his word and meditate on his word and obey his word, it becomes the central thing in your heart and in your life. How many things have pushed out the word of God out of our lives? We feel our life is consumed with everything except the thing that really matters. The Lord has promised, I'm going to give you the courage to do the right thing. I'm going to give you the courage to divide the land, to go in and possess it. I'm going to give you the courage to take hold of the word of God and believe it. And I'm going to be with you. Take courage. Whatever you do as you step out and move in faith, I am going to be with you. Amen. I want you to just think this morning about where you are right now, personally, in your walk with the Lord. As I was thinking and meditating on this, and I was just thinking, and I was asking the Lord a question, Lord, why is it that we're not really, really seeking you like we have a real desire and a real hunger? And the Lord reminded me and convicted me, because sometimes on Sunday morning, I don't even give you time to pray. I just say, let's stand and let's leave. Let's get out of here. It's over with. But I'm going to give you an opportunity, if you'll stand with me this morning. I'm going to give every one of you an opportunity to step forward. If you could just kind of envision it this way, as you move forward toward this altar, yeah, you can say, the Lord brought me out of a lot of things. Thank God for it. But what has he brought you into? What has he led you into? I tell you, it's a sad thing when a younger generation, they think about their life and their future and their career, and they make all these plans about college and that's good, and family, and who they're going to date, and who they're going to marry. Make all these plans for the future, and God is not really at the center of all that they're doing. Most critical decisions you're making about your life and your future, and you're not seeking God about it. It's not just the young people, it's all of us. We live out our days, and our lives resemble more the wilderness journeys of those that are just going in circles. We find ourselves, it's just kind of a mundane existence. Okay, it's time to go to church again. Okay, let's get dressed. Let's go to church. Okay, it's another day to go to work. Got to fulfill my daily responsibilities. And you're just in this cycle. You're in this cycle, and there's nothing supernatural happening. God's not speaking to you. You're not listening to his voice. You're not taking any steps toward God, toward the promises of God. And that's why we're not realizing some of the blessings that he has for us. So as you step out from your seat, to come to the front of this building this morning, I just want to ask you, turn it into a step of faith. And by these steps, just simply say to the Lord, Lord, I know that you have many wonderful promises, exceeding great and marvelous promises, Lord, that you've provided for me. And most of them, I haven't possessed them. But I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to start walking toward you, Lord. I'm going to start walking, making a step toward God and toward the things of God and toward this altar and just say, Lord, I need help. I need your touch. I need your power. I need your spirit. I want to take hold of the promises of God and believe God today. Could we come? Amen.